The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek, and they met it with a bat. Fucking protesting them citizens. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you died, good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up and you did it. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called a national guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. The one that you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, and I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines, known as USA Inc. Today's day is January 1st, 2016, as we kick off our eighth year of broadcasting here on Black Talk Radio Network. Again, I just want to express my appreciation for all of those people who have supported us throughout our 7 years in existence on this platform or as a platform, and I just can't express my gratitude enough, because without all the support that I have received over the years, you know, I might have given up on this project. Again, Black Talk Radio Network was launched by the Black Talk Media Project in 2008, so I'm just excited in terms of broadcast media and being able to have meaningful conversations and put out the information that we feel like is lacking from other sources of media. So again, I just want to thank those who have shown their support in various ways over the past 7 years as we enter into our eighth year of broadcasting. Now, before I get into the topics that I have chosen for today's program, or I should say the news stories, I do have some bad news to report. If you are on social media, you may have heard that Dr. Francis Cress Welsing had been hospitalized and was in critical condition. And we shared that on our social media platform. The information started coming out yesterday. And today you have Dr. Umar Johnson confirming that Dr. Welsing is in the hospital, that she suffered a stroke. All right. So those people who believe in the power of prayer, who believe in spiritual healing, who believe in positive thinking, please do all of that. Do all of the above and keep her in your thoughts and your prayers and sending those good vibrations. Now, I have only had one opportunity to interview Dr. Francis Welsing during the 7 years that I've been broadcasting, but there are some things that I don't agree with, some of the theories that she have. Mostly it has to do with the classification of Jews, but that's no big thing. This woman has put in decades of work of exposing the system of racism and white supremacy. She is one of the people that I have learned things from, along with a whole bunch of other people. And so her work is valued. It should be appreciated. And I hope that, you know, she pulls through and is able to continue her work. But you know what? She's an elder. She's an elder, and, you know, this is about also the younger generations picking up that baton. And I know, you know, I'm not saying there aren't any other people out there that have picked up that baton, but it's just a shame, man, that our elders don't get to retire. Now, yeah, she's true. She's retired from psychiatry in that practice. You know, if I remember correctly, she's retired. But she is still always working to expose the system of racism and white supremacy. And that's a full-time job. It's a very stressful job and whatnot. And I just want to end this system. I want to end this system so our elders can start, you know, enjoying their retirement and not have to be still fighting in this long war. And she is I would call a warrior in this war. And so, again, it's with sad news that I want that I have to report that she is in poor health right now, but we are hoping for a quick turnaround. All right, let me move on to some other news. I didn't plan on talking about this because I just found out about an hour or so before the program, and this is a bit of good news. This is a bit of good news. Now, we had the opportunity to interview James Klingman late last year about the 1 million conscious black voters and contributors. Let me find that website. I want to give that out. Make sure I give y'all that. I think it's oneofthemillion.com if I'm not mistaken. But what this is, yeah, 1 million. Yes, I am oneofthemillion.com. I am oneofthemillion.com. And we interviewed Dr. James Klingman about that, this movement to create an organization to mobilize conscious black voters as well as bring together contributors to fund the work. The best way that I can describe it, in my opinion, they may, you know, have a different definition, but I think Mr. Klingman agreed with me. This is sort of like a special interest group that fights and raises, you know, the special interests of the black community. All right. They have other names and whatnot. And so, you know, politics, you may hear about super PACs and things of that nature where, you know, all this unlimited money pours into, I think they're like 504s or something like that. I don't know what their government designation or classification is as political organizations. But they're called PACs because that stands for Political Action Committee. And they take in millions and millions of dollars from the wealthiest people and whatnot. And then they fund the ads that you see on TV and, you know, for particular candidates that they say represent the interests. And, you know, they also put out other types of propaganda and whatnot. And we don't have anything like that. Okay, we don't have anything like that. I can't recall other than when Malcolm X and I forget the doctors, Dr. John Henry Clark, when they launched the African American, what is it, the Organization for African American Unity. That's the closest thing that I can think of from what I've read that we can compare what Dr. Klingman and Baba Amafika is trying to do, and all the others who are part of that movement, is that, you know, they are trying to create a organization that is going to, you know, be engaged on in the political arena as well as the economic arena. And see, we have to be proficient in all 9 areas of people activity. And so that's what 1 million conscious black voters and contributors is about, from what I gather. Again, you can go to the website yourself and look at the mission statement and whatnot. But I got some good news today from one of our listeners and supporters, Brother Ralph, who had called in to the program yesterday. But he sent me an email. He forwarded me an email. And we had talked to Dr. Kleeman via email after we had interviewed him. When I say we, I'm talking about people who are part of the new abolitionist movement. And so we had, you know, been talking to them about the 13th Amendment and how the 13th Amendment really did not abolish slavery, that the 13th Amendment has a giant exception clause in it that allows them to continue to practice slavery, albeit in a different form than what we're mostly taught. And through, you know, the enemy's public schools and whatnot, and through their media and their propaganda. You know, I've been talking about the 150th anniversary fraud ceremony that they had in Washington, D.C. You had President Obama, all the leaders of Congress and you know, the Senate and the House and other invited people. No, I wasn't invited. But anyway, they had other invited people, and we watched that. You know, it is published online, but we watched that. And not once did I hear them even mention, you know, the text of the 13th Amendment. They didn't have no big old poster board with the text of the 13th Amendment on it, but they all got up there and made these statements and these long-winded speeches about, you know, what a great day it is, how great America is, we abolish slavery, and it's all a doggone lie. And President Obama knows it. He's a constitutional attorney. We have seen video of him, you know, kind of touching upon it with some college students in terms of the Emancipation Proclamation. And he was just sharing a little bit of truth and how Lincoln, when he issued the Emancipation Proclamation, it did not free every enslaved African on the continent. He allowed those counties and those states that remained loyal to the federal government, USA. It wasn't USA Inc. at that time. I don't think they had incorporated yet. No, they didn't incorporate until 1871. But, so Obama was talking about how, you know, Lincoln really didn't free everybody. And I'm paraphrasing what he said. He was talking to some college students and whatnot. But he's a very smart man, very intelligent man. And, you know, it's not just him. But it's very rare that I hear any of these quote unquote PhDs and, you know, whatever the doctorates, whatever, you know, these educational titles and whatnot, education title. Very rare I hear any of them talking about the fact that America never abolished slavery. So Ralph forwarded me the email, and they have added the removal of the 13th Amendment exception clause that allows for legalized slavery through the prisons to their plank. So I'll just read it to you. It says that I've added the section in bold to the 18th plank as you drafted. So this is communications between Baba Amafika and Baba Kleeman. And I'm just read this to you. It says the 150th anniversary of the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was celebrated in December 2015 by President Barack Obama and Speaker of the House of Representatives Paul Ryan, who said the 13th Amendment is just 43 words long. It is so short that you can almost miss its whole significance. Today we celebrate this 43-word amendment, this new birth of freedom. It is altogether fitting and proper that we do this. Again, these people are practicing deception. Now, the email goes on to read, the 13th Amendment states, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as a punishment for crime, whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Congress shall have power, this is section 2 of the 13th Amendment, Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. And I'm going to stop there before I continue. And I have mentioned, you know, section 2 is important because section 2 led to the black codes, all right? the black codes and the authorization of private prisons. Yes, they had private prisons back in the 1800s and whatnot. Brother Max Parthas has talked about that. And so it allowed for the race-based a continuation of the slave codes, we might as well call it. But they called them the black codes during Jim Crow. And while it was mainly the states that passed the black codes and whatnot, what they were basing those black codes on was the 13th Amendment. They could still practice slavery, but first they had to convict those formerly enslaved Africans and free black people who had never been enslaved. They had to convict them of a crime, put them in prison, and then that led to the convict leasing program. That goes on to this day, even though they don't call it the convict leasing program anymore. But let me continue on. Says, let me start where I left off. Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. This plan calls for making the amendment even shorter by reducing the count to 29. The 1 million conscious black voters and contributors calls for the elimination of the exception in the 13th Amendment, i.e., except as a punishment for a crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted. The 13th Amendment would thereafter read, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. See, right now you got a presidential candidate, Bernie Sanders, and he introduced Justice Is Not For Sale Act 2015. And what that would do is ban all private prisons and jails. But that's not enough. It doesn't go far enough. It is a big step, grant you. It is a big concession to the abolitionist movement. And again, Brother Max has been in contact with, you know, people in his campaign and having these conversations behind the scenes. There's a lot that's going on that you know, a lot of people are not privy to that the new abolitionist movement is involved in. Okay, so it doesn't go far enough because it still allows for the federal government and the states to continue to practice slavery, as we reported. An old article from I think it was, 2011? It could have been earlier than that. I might be confusing that with Debbie Wasserman Schultz's 2011 letter to the head of ICE, Immigration Customs and Enforcement. We talked about that on New Abolitionist Radio. That podcast is up for last Wednesday, this past Wednesday, but we shared an article it went back to the 1990s when Clinton was still in office, the husband, Bill Clinton, and it talked about how California by itself, it only talked about California, the state of California had $150 million in sales from products and services provided by their prison slave labor force. Okay, so Bernie Sanders, while we'll take it if we can get it, but it doesn't stop there. We need to keep fighting until this war is won. But that Justice Is Not For Sale Act 2015 does only bans private prisons and jails. And that's a huge, big thing. I don't want to minimize the importance of that. But if we were able to change the 13th Amendment, well, then, you know, we could then force them legislatively to abolish all of their forms of slavery that they're practicing, whether it's the state, whether it is the federal government. And again, you know, of course, we want to get rid of private prisons and jails. You know, that just simply, that's Wall Street. Which started as a enslaved African trading market. Okay, that's how Wall Street got started in New York. And now they're back into the game through these private prison stocks. So this is a big deal to me. It should be a big deal to anyone who acknowledges and has been enlightened to the fact that they have never ended slavery. You know, and I also have stated that, you know what, even if we pass, get these things, put it codified into law or change the Constitution, it may take another civil war to finally end this once and for all. I have no illusions about the deception that these people practice, all right, and that is a huge plank in their economy is slavery, all right. So they ain't going to just give it up. You know what I'm saying? They going to keep doing whatever deceptive thing they can do. And it may eventually come down to another civil war for us to end not only slavery, but racism and white supremacy. I'm just trying to be a realist. OK, I would like for these things to end, you know, with, you know, a bloodless revolution. But I'm also a student of history and I'm that serious about this. I'm that serious. It may take a civil war. Anyway, they go on to write, "We call on the Congressional Black Caucus, the president, and candidates for the 2016 presidential election to publicly support amending the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution as proposed by the 1 million conscious black voters and contributors via House/Senate bills, resolutions, executive order, or through any other means at their disposal." So I am happy to report that they have taken our recommendations under consideration and have made this a part of their plank of the 1 million conscious black voters and contributors. The message is spreading, people. The abolitionist message is spreading. The truth is getting out there that slavery was never abolished in this country. It was just transformed into a different form. But it's still chattel slavery. It's still chattel slavery, and it's worse than it has ever been. But here is the caveat. Here's the caveat. Wow. Black people are the primary targets for this neo-slavery, all right? They do enslave other non-white people, and they do enslave poor white people, all right? So there should be room for a broad coalition to finally end slavery, just like you had, you know, in the Union Army, you know, people dying, fighting, killing, to end slavery, and they were betrayed. They were betrayed by Lincoln and Congress. They were betrayed. They were sold out to the Confederacy. Sold out. Oh, we'll let you come back in and let you keep practicing slavery. Let's just end this war, cause too many people being classified as white is dying. Okay. But this is impacting everyone, and even if you are not a prison slave today, you still is paying for as a taxpayer. All right. The money that they are taking from you by the threat of force in terms of taxes, paying taxes, is being funneled into the pockets of the 21st century enslavers. Everybody has a reason to be in this fight. Everybody has a reason to join this war. Because you are being impacted by it one way or the other, regardless of your racial classification. But if you don't want to join, that's okay, because black people, as the Black Panther Party has said in the past, that black people are the vanguard of the revolution. So I just wanted to report that. That is just makes me just ecstatic that the message is spreading, the truth is spreading about slavery in this country never being abolished. So thank you 1 million conscious black voters and contributors and everybody who is a part of that. Thank you for making that a part of your political action plan, if we want to call it that. All right, let me get to some of the news. Before I get to some of the news, I see I made a mistake and didn't include the telephone numbers or the flash phone for people to call in. Let me go ahead and add that right quick while I'm talking. But the conference line number is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-pound. At any time that you would like to make a comment, ask a question, or report some news, just hit *6 and 1 and we will bring you, or I will bring you on air. Okay. The other way is the studio line. That studio line is 704-951-5030. Again, that number is 704-951-5030. And of course, you can also access the conference line by using the web-based flash phone. So here are some of the stories. Let me close out some of these windows, that all these browsers I got open. Some of the stories that I have chosen to talk about with you today concerning, they concern Hillary Clinton, one of the most vile, evil creatures to walk the face of the planet. And I'm not saying that just to be saying it. People who know this woman's history, who knows the things that she has been involved in for decades, like 21st century slavery and human trafficking, Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, man. I tell you, man, a lot of people don't know just how much they were involved with expanding the use of private prisons and jails. In fact, the largest private prison enslaver on the planet, the Correction Corporation of America, used to be known as Wackenhut, and it was headquartered, guess where? In Arkansas, where Bill and Hillary Clinton were running, you know, the governor's mansion out there in Arkansas. So anyway, before I get to that, I want to stay in order. The NSA, I read this article last night. The NSA spying that Republicans have supported, as well as Democrats. Again, I don't see no difference. I don't play into the labels like, you know, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat. Man, these people are all evil. They all support slavery. They are all involved in all manner of evil that is permeating across the planet. But they all supported that illegal spying, and it's still going on. And that's why I don't buy any of these things. Like one of the stories I want to bring up about, you know, that these terrorism plots, man, they in everybody's email. They are getting all your metadata from the cell phones and stuff like that. And anything that happens, they knew about it. They knew ahead of time. They allow these things to happen so that then they can justify the expansion of the police state. All right. So, but anyway, the NSA spying, according to an article that was published by the Wall Street Journal, but the source that I'm using is OccupyDemocrats.com, and of course they're going to report it in a biased manner, but you know that's why I'm here to break it down for you and tell you that, you know, Democrats probably was involved in this too. But they reported and they linked to the Wall Street Journal, which is a right-wing piece of crap rag, you know. I can't remember the guy who owns the Wall Street Journal. But anyway, the Wall Street Journal, you got to pay to access their articles. So that's why I didn't link to that. But I did confirm that the Wall Street Journal did publish this. But the NSA spying appeared to snare Republicans because the NSA was spying on the Israelis. Why would they be spying on the Israelis? Because the Israelis, man, is, I mean, I'm not even going to go there. I'm not going to go on that tangent. But they are enemies. You know, if we want to believe in nation states and whatnot, they are enemy of the people of the United States. They're a racist Zionist nation. They have been connected to various terrorist groups and terrorist attacks here in America. Don't believe me? Do your doggone research now. You can't just be watching, you know, corporate media, because they're lying to you. All right, they're not going to tell you everything. They'll share some things, but it's up to you to do more research. So that's why they were spying on the Israelis. So anyway, or one of the reasons that they possibly were spying on Israelis. But like the Israelis say, Netanyahu said, everybody spy on everybody. All right, so yeah, that's true to a certain extent. So, but while the NSA was spying on the Israelis, it appears that the Republicans may have been accepting bribes from Benjamin Netanyahu and other high-ranking Israeli officials to undermine the CEO of USA Inc. Some people call him the commander-in-chief. He's also known as the president. But when the Obama administration was trying to work out something with the Iranians so that there won't be another war and whatnot, even though they're in constant state of war, so I need to be correct in my use of language on that. But he was trying to prevent it from blowing up bigger, let's just put it that way. And you know, come to this nuclear agreement with the Iranians, which involved seven other nation states and whatnot. And so that eventually passed. But it appears that those Republicans, and I'm sure it was some Democrats, because I remember some of the Democrats was trying to undermine it too, because they are in the pockets of the Zionist AIPAC. And AIPAC is, if you don't know what AIPAC is, that's one of them political action committees that I was talking about. It's the AIPAC stands for American Israeli Political Action Committee. All right. And so, you know, they have puppets in both parties in all areas of the government. All right. So I'm not one to just say it was the Republicans. I know it was the Democrats involved, too. All right. But anyway, apparently the NSA spying has snagged these people, possibly taking bribes. But the Israelis were offering bribes for them to undermine their quote unquote CEO, quote unquote, commander in chief. And this would be, you know, again, if we want to play the game of the nation state and all this, this would be treason. This would be considered treason. But I don't expect them to suffer any consequences, because they commit crimes all the time and never pay the consequences. All right. That, you know, unless they go off a script too much, and then they might have to pay a consequence. Anyway, that's one of the stories. The other story that I think is big news that I don't know. I haven't had an opportunity to monitor mainstream corporate media to see how much they are reporting on the fact that more than 1,200 of Hillary Clinton's emails were classified that was on that private server. All right. And this new revelation comes in the wake of the latest batch of more than 3,000 emails that a judge ordered the U.S. government, and specifically the State Department, to release, to comply. I guess it was with a Freedom of Information Act request, you know. And so all their talk about transparency, they fight these things all the way. Anyway, that's a huge deal. So in terms from, if you want to, you know, again, one of those people out there that believe in the nation state concept and whatnot. Let me see. It appears somebody might have been trying to call, but I missed their message. Let me make sure, because it went to voicemail. Let me make sure the studio line is open. Cancel. Let me cancel that online status. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. If you want to try to give us a call back, give us a call back. I didn't get the notification that somebody was trying to call in. But again, getting back to, you know, if you really really think, you know, that we have a true democracy in this country and whatnot, and you know, you support USA Inc. and all of that, and you know, you just ain't became awakened yet. I'm not trying to denigrate you, because I don't know, you know, everything that I think I know, I didn't know, you know, all the time. I had to find these things out. Somebody had to tell me. I had to research it. I had to find it for myself, you know. So I'm not denigrating you, you know, or anything like that. But I'm just saying, you know, this should be a huge deal to you, you know, because this, number one, she's a liar. Number two, it appears she's incompetent. She's she should not be given the title of CEO of USA Inc. I mean, I wouldn't even want hire her to run the Black Talk Media Project. Number one, you know, she is a white. She is a white supremacist and a racist. So, of course, she wouldn't be hired at the Black Talk Media Project. But I'm just saying, if you know, if and when I start the for-profit media venture, I wouldn't hire this woman. I wouldn't hire this woman to run a Kool-Aid stand because she's incompetent. She's arrogant. All right. And she thinks that she's above the law and she don't have to follow the rules. I used to have a top secret security clearance when I was in the military because of the sensitive documents that I had access to when I was in, I got deployed to the Gulf War. All right. You know, I got the top secret clearance because it was wartime and I was in a war zone. And, you know, I was doing sensitive work and whatnot. So I had a lot of access to a lot of emails, like just how many people they was really killing and whatnot during that period and whatnot. And so I know the rules that's in place. I know the penalties. I mean, look at Chelsea Manning right now. Some of you might know the whistleblower as Bradley Manning, you know, and I don't want to get caught up in how people classify themselves. They won't classify themselves any kind of way they want to. They have a right to self-determination. Okay. But why is Edward Snowden on the run? Why can't he come back to the United States, you know, when he exposed all this illegal stuff? You know, because they're saying, oh, he broke the rules. He didn't go through the proper channels. He didn't follow the standard operating procedure. Same thing with Hillary Clinton's emails. First, she lied, you know, about not having classified emails on that private server, which she only set up that private server is to hide the criminality she was engaged in. But it's just incompetence, man. It's incompetence. It's just flaunting the rules like the rules don't apply to me. But, okay, and so I'll share some more details of that. But I'm sure people be making excuses. She'll continue to lie because it was only 200 classified emails when this story first came out. Now it's up to 1,200. I can't imagine how anybody could explain why this woman would be qualified to run any corporation. Because, she makes state secrets vulnerable. This woman is, I just can't say that enough. Besides all of her evilness and other criminality, you know, just from looking at it from running an organization, this woman ain't qualified. So, I do want to move on. Yesterday, I touched upon and you know, I got kind of sidetracked and whatnot. I do that sometimes. For whatever reason. But yesterday I touched upon, I meant to talk more about the fake war on cops that all of these people was going on television. Most prominently, David Clark, the Milwaukee sheriff, the proxy racist tool of the races up there in that area of the world in Wisconsin. And we got a listener out. He said he's trying to get out of there, but he's called in before. And Wisconsin as a county has the worst incarceration rates, you know, when it comes to black males, and they got a black sheriff running it. So again, the system of racism and white supremacy, I think, you know, is more complicated than what people wanna state. You know, it ain't all white supremacists. Some of these white people are not even white supremacists. They just being classified as white and given white privilege as long as they go along and do the bidding of the real white supremacists. That's the most powerful people on the planet. These other people, man, they only became classified as white after, you know, Bacon's Rebellion, going back to the 1500s. So I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I know the history. But anyway, you know, you had all these law enforcement officials, police state apologists, of course, you know, mostly Fox News people, but CNN as well, spreading this false narrative. And the only reason they was doing that is because of the all of the grassroots effort, the mass movements and rebellions against police violence and whatnot. And so in order to suppress, you know, those these demonstrations and whatnot, and to minimize the message of those speaking out against the police state, oh yeah, they want to misdirect the unconscious masses, which they are in the majority right now, and say, oh, this is all leading to a war on cops, and people are just gunning down cops, and they got the most dangerous job, and you know, feel sorry for us, and all that old garbage. And now, you know, from one of their own organizations, they being exposed as lying about this fake war on cops. It never existed. They've had one, 2015 was one of the safest years for cops. All right? So, that's one of the stories I want to take a look at. My FBI informant, I'm sure y'all heard about this, you know, because it's standard operating procedure for the corporate state media to hype up all these terrorist attacks and whatnot, or alleged plots to commit acts of terrorism. And but what a lot of people don't know, I would say 99.9% of these plots that they are claiming that they are stopping, and that's why they need these powers to illegally spy on you and whatnot, they are the orchestrators of it. They are, you know, they are the ones that are the masterminds behind the plots. And what they do is they go out there and they get a mentally deficient person to buy into this plot, and then, you know, they swoop in and then arrest that person. Like, that person recruited people and not the other way around, and that this person was doing, they came up with this, and they were doing this all by themselves and whatnot, when the fact is paid FBI agents, informants, whatever you want to call them, they're employees of the states. That's how they justify their pay, is if they ain't producing these busts in these so-called stings, then, you know, you can't justify paying them. They might get laid off. They might get fired because they ain't worth the money, you know, because they ain't producing and whatnot. And these are the people that are going out there looking for vulnerable people, looking for disenfranchised people, and then targeting those people and acting like they're ICE sealed or acting like they're Al-Qaeda when really they're the FBI. And then they, you know, mastermind these plots. And then, you know, like I said, then the FBI comes in like they done busted a real plot. So y'all might have heard about the black male in New York who allegedly was supposed to commit an act of terrorism by attacking people at this bar with a machete. Now, that's just ridiculous to me. That's just ridiculous. That's just stupid. But yet, those five white males who attacked the Black Lives Matter demonstrators occupying the 4th precinct, the police precinct in Minneapolis, shot five people, and they ain't been charged with an act of terrorism as of yet, and they probably will not be. So where is their providing material support to the Ku Klux Klan? You know, all these organizations that's online, you know, the Citizens Council, Conservative Citizens Council, you know, the ones that radicalized Dylann Roof, the Emmanuel 9 murderer, killer, terrorist. They radicalized him. He said that's where he was getting his information from. Why them people ain't been rounded up and whatnot, cause they classified as white. So anyway, those are a couple of stories that I want to make you aware of, and we could possibly get in more, especially if any of the listeners would like to share anything. All right, so but right now I'm way overdue for the station identification break. I'm also going to kick some message music, and when I come back I'll jump into this first story. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News, which is part of the Black Talk Radio Network, which is managed by the North Carolina-based nonprofit media organization, Black Talk Media Project. We'll be back on the other side.
No, it really isn't. Because, see, people are thinking in terms of, well, they want to brag about being black, which means that they are implying that there's something incorrect about being white, even though these are the creations of the Creator. See, and then so everybody gets into this black pride thing or white pride thing, and people immediately start taking sides. It's not about taking sides based on black and white. It's about taking sides based on justice and non-justice. Well, that's what you're really aiming for. Being black doesn't mean anything if you don't believe in justice. And being white doesn't mean anything if you don't believe in justice, except you mean in, you believe in non-justice. And that doesn't make any difference what shade you are or how tall you are or who your cousin was or anything like that, or what so-called nationality you have. Like a lot of people say that they take pride in being an Englishman, or take pride in being a Frenchman, or take pride in being Afrocentric. Well, you're not supposed to be proud of any of those things if you don't believe in justice, because these words mean nothing. No nationality means anything. And waving a flag if you don't believe in not mistreating people. You've got to believe in not mistreating people, and you've got to believe in helping people that need help the most. Otherwise, you don't even have any business breathing.
The police the same way. They put their club upside your head and then turn around and accuse you of attacking them. Every case of police brutality against a Negro follows the same pattern. They attack you, bust you all upside your mouth, and then take you to court and charge you with assault. What kind of democracy is that? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of social or political system is it when a black man has no voice in court, has no nothing on his side other than what the white man chooses to give? My brothers and sisters, we have to put a stop to this. And it will never be stopped until we stop it ourselves. They attack the victim. And then the criminal who attacked the victim accuses the victim of attacking him. This is American justice. This is American democracy.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in for this broadcast from behind these enemy lines. So let me just go ahead and share some of those details with you from these stories that I have been talking about for almost an hour. Okay, so the first one, this is coming from OccupyDemocrats.com, but the true source, the original source that broke this story was Wall Street Journal. For whatever reasons, you know, because they do, they part of the evil system too. But anyway, because Wall Street Journal, it is about Wall Street and making money and whatnot, and they ain't trying to tell nobody about slavery still being practiced, you know. So anyway, let me just read a little bit from this article that was published by a young person by the name of Colin Taylor. This article has actually been shared on social media over 73,000 times. He says that you may remember the ridiculous doomsday prophecy and outrageous fear-mongering that defined the Republican campaign against President Obama's nuclear peace deal with Iran. the motivation behind their unwise and ultimately ineffective resistance to the president's diplomatic agenda has finally come to light. A new report from the Wall Street Journal reveals that NSA wiretaps found that the Israeli prime minister, that's Benjamin Netanyahu, vile, evil, racist white supremacist, okay? Yeah, he may, I don't even know if he even practices Judaism, but, you know, he claims that he is and whatnot. But, you know, again, to stop any confusion about religious classifications and racial classifications, Jews are not a racial classification. That's a religious classification. Benjamin Netanyahu is a white supremacist, probably a descendant of Germans or other Europeans. Well, I know he is, so ain't no probably in it. But anyway, the Israeli prime minister and other officials of the Israeli government attempted to and most likely succeeded to bribe American legislators in exchange for their support against the deal. This is treason. This would be considered treason. They are betraying the corporation. All right. A U.S. intelligence official familiar with The Intercept said Israel's pitch to undecided lawmakers often included such questions as, how can we get your vote? What is it going to take? Mr. Netanyahu and some of his allies voiced confidence that they could win enough votes. That's coming from the Wall Street Journal. That's a quote from them. The answers, well, from this U.S. intelligence official. The answers to Israeli proposals have yet to be fully revealed, but it is clear that favors were offered, bribes were proposed, and from the subsequent behavior of Republican lawmakers, we can only infer that our legislators accepted those bribes from a foreign government in exchange for opposing the diplomatic efforts of the Obama administration. At the very least, the very discussion itself indicates that they conspired with they conspired with a foreign government to undermine the foreign policy agenda. This website is just doing some crazy stuff, man. Hold up. I can just summarize what he's saying, and he is correct. You know, this would be treason. This would be a portrayal of USA Inc. All right. Those people should face charges if there was a system based on justice. But there is not a system based on justice. Don't even expect the Justice Department or the FBI to investigate these people. They already got the evidence. The NSA got them on wiretaps, you know, and so they should be getting arrested right now. They should be being perp walk right now. And all of them billions of U.S. tax dollars that they've been funneling to Israel as the world's largest welfare state, okay, that should be immediately cut off. But again, you know, things is not what they appear to be, meaning that you don't really have no democratic republic here in the United States. Those people, those corporate officers that you quote unquote elect, they don't really represent you. Okay? They don't. So anyway, I just thought that this was worth putting out there just to show y'all how the system really works. Yeah, lock up millions of people over some nonviolent drug crimes and ruin their lives over victimless so-called crimes that they made up that are unconstitutional. But these people can commit the most gravest crime according to their code, and that's treason, and not get arrested and not get prosecuted. This is why I have no respect for the law. That is why I don't buy into all this law and order and respectability politics. All this criminality going on at the highest level of government, and then they are not being held accountable for treason, but you'll lock somebody up over a bag of weed, a bag of heroin, a bag of cocaine? Come on, man. Come on. That's why I say this corporation needs to be dissolved and we need to start over. It is time for this thing to be, this experiment to be ended. It's time, people. It's time. And I don't know, you know, some of the elders that I listen to, that I learn from, like we played Malcolm X the other day, talking about the difference between a black revolution and a Negro revolution, and saying, you know, well, how did the people who fought in those revolutions reach their goals? They had to shed some blood. I hope it don't come for that, come to that. I am not some sick person who likes to see death and people being killed, okay? I am former military. I am a veteran of a foreign war. And while I was not on the battlefield, I did see pictures. And I seen the real numbers of all the people that got killed. And it made me sick to my stomach. It made me sick. Not to mention I was reading Malcolm X's biography at the time. And that's why I got out. As soon as my 6 months was up, even though the war was over by then, you know, I got out. I could not in good conscience stay in there because I knew I had come to the awareness that I was just a pawn on a global chessboard. I was being used as a tool to kill other 9 white people. Again, I ain't pulled the trigger on nobody. I was in communications, but I played a role and I apologize for that. I didn't know any better at the time, but I know better now. And I have expressed this to my children, and when they were talking about, you know, joining the Air Force, and oh, hell no, it's not, no, I can't stop you, but here's the reasons why you should not do that. And thankfully, they listened to their father, and they did not join. Now, I'm trying to get off of this website, man. I hate it when people put all these different things on a website that causes a website to lock up. Finally, it closed. Causing my browser to lock up and whatnot. You know, I try to keep the websites that I design and implement clean and whatnot. And so that, you know, it done. That's just so aggravating, man. People need access to the information, but they can't get to the information when it's locking up their doggone browser. So the next story I want to get to, I can't get to the link until my browser settles down. But the next story I want to get to is these 1,200 emails about that have been uncovered. On New Year's Eve, they did a document dump, all right? And they still got thousands of, who knows, tens of thousands of more emails to go through that were on Hillary Clinton's server. Now, this latest release, after they've gone through and identified what was classified and what was not classified, and you know, of course, they got a blackout, you know, take a black magic marker and strike through the classified information before releasing it to the public. So that means it's still classified. They haven't declassified it. If they are redacting is the term that they use for it. If they're redacting these emails that they are releasing, that means they're still classified. They could either be marked secret or they could be marked top secret. We don't know. I don't know at this time. But the release, the unsecure storage of any of those three classifications, confidential, secret, and top secret, can land your behind in jail. I don't think people understand the scope of this incompetence. Who knows what type of classified information that this woman was storing on an unsecured email server in her basement, in her one of her many houses. This is ridiculous, man. And I don't know how the corporate state media is going to treat this story. Obviously, the conservatives are going to make a big deal about it. But the left-leaning media, they're going to try to tell you to move on and nothing to see here. Everybody is going to have an angle. But I'm looking at this objectively. I'm not even talking about the crimes, the human rights violations this woman has been engaged in for most of her adult life. I'm not even talking about the assassination of an ally of the United States government. I'm talking about Libya. and this woman standing in public in a town calling for the killing of a sitting head of state, which is also against U.S. law. See, these people break the law all the time, but they want to point to some poor oppressed communities, impoverished communities, and talk about all the crime that's going on. Man, these people commit crime at a scale that most people can't even fathom. So I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about the emails. This alone should disqualify this woman from becoming a CEO of anything, let alone a powerful corporation like USA Inc. I'm just waiting to see how people going to justify this. And, you know, now I'm thinking about Bernie Sanders. See, Bernie Sanders, man, I don't know what to think about him other than, you know, he is what he is. He's a corporate officer in USA Inc., you know. And so, you know, his thing in offering this legislation to abolish private prisons and jails, well, that just might be the real powerful white supremacists authorizing him to do that, as they fear masses of us tearing this doggone country up. They'll make concessions like that from time to time. They'll authorize some of their corporate officers to make certain concessions and whatnot, because they want to keep the empire intact and they don't want the masses of the people waking up and dismantling this evil, corrupt system. So I view that as simply a concession. I don't know this man personally. I don't know, you know, what his motives is, but I just know we need to end slavery. And if that bill will move us in that direction, then let's do it. I'm for it, you know, because I'm trying to avoid bloodshed, but it may be unavoidable, you know, to eventually end all of this evil, corrupt stuff that's going on. But Bernie Sanders, remember him. This is why I said I was starting to see where Max and Yohanan was coming from, the co-hosts and co-producers of New Abolitionist Radio, when they were saying it looked like Bernie Sanders is sheepdogging for Hillary Clinton, meaning that, you know, he's just trying to energize people, get people registered, a lot of young people and whatnot, and he ain't really trying to win the nomination. And then, you know, all those people will be told, oh, vote for Hillary. She's the lesser of the two evils. Because, you know, look at the other side. You got the blatant racist Donald Trump, you know, as opposed to the more codified, incompetent racist Hillary Clinton, you know. So, but when he, at that last, not the last debate, but the one before that, because they only did three and they ain't even doing no more. And he was fine with that. So, again, he might be sheepdogging. I can't say for sure. But he said, the American people are tired of hearing about these emails. And you know, he trying to come to her defense and whatnot. Look, if you in it to win it, that's your opponent. You don't be on stage. You don't be doing anything to be defending your opponent and whatnot. You, no. Now, it might be some strategic value in being careful with your language when you're talking to a woman, you know, because she's already, you know, unjustly tried to accuse him of being sexist and whatnot. And people in her campaign, if she didn't do it herself, you know, that way they got their surrogates out there to do that and whatnot. And so I understand you don't want to come off as being sexist and whatnot. Because, you know, you want to attract, you know, woman voters and whatnot. But you don't go to bat and defending and telling people, you know, move along and nothing to see here. This is very important. This is very important. And he should know that as long as he has been a corporate officer in CEO Inc., he knows that it is a grave breach of security to be storing classified emails on a private server. And there was no need for her to do that. Unless she was trying to hide something. And so for him sheepdogging, this is serious, people. I'm just trying to tell y'all, there is something to see here. This is very serious. And so first they came out, did the first document dump. They were talking about only 200 of the emails was classified. Well, one is too many, but we'll give you one. We'll say, oh, it was a mistake. She didn't know no better. But now we're up to 1,200. This woman's campaign should be suspended. And then just think about the other day how the DNC, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a racist white supremacist who supports the private prison industry, as we reported on Black Talk, on New Abolitionist Radio. This woman, again, in terms of these emails, again, I just can't stress enough how important this is. But they just tried to gin up some controversy. Now, this story has been out for a few days, but remember at the last debate, they were talking about a staffer on Bernie Sanders' campaign took an opportunity to breach a firewall that actually was down and steal and access some of Hillary Clinton's voter data information. And then now we know that the DNC recommended the guy who actually did it. And Hillary Clinton recommended the guy to the Bernie Sanders. Now, see, again, is this man incompetent? Why would you take recommendation to hire somebody from somebody you allegedly trying to beat for the nomination? So you just made it easy for them to plant somebody in your campaign to then, wait for this firewall to go down, which some people think it was planned, and then access this information. And then what did they do? They suspended your campaign, wouldn't even give you access to your own data, a voter database and whatnot. But then, he is calling for a full investigation into that. And Hillary Clinton's calling for a full investigation into that. But to me, this is related or similar to this email, the improper storage of these classified documents on her private email. Is she more worried about keeping her voter data secret or from prying eyes than she was worried about protecting classified information as Secretary of State? And I ain't seen nobody really talking about it in that light. So again, this is serious. But I don't suspect that anybody will be holding her feet to the fire over it, except for, the conservatives and whatnot. And people will try to say that, this is just a partisan attack. And the Republicans and whatnot, do engage in partisan attacks. Everybody do that. You know what I'm saying? But this is still that doesn't make this issue invalid. This is a credible issue that people should be more concerned about if you invested in USA Inc. and whatnot. But again, who knows how many people's lives she put at risk? We don't know. We don't know. We simply don't know that. What kind of, 1,200 emails to date? We don't know. So this is serious. This is very serious. Now, I'm going to move on from that. Again, if you have any questions, comments, anything you like to share, any news to report, maybe you have a different view than me, and that's okay. That's okay. That's what dialogue is for us to consider all different viewpoints. And then, we analyze it and hopefully come to a constructive conclusion and whatnot. So, but anyway, the telephone number is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-pound. And you can hit *6 and 1 at any time to signal me, and I'll bring you on. You can also use the web-based flash phone to call from anywhere in the world and get connected to the conference line, or you can call 704-951-5030. That is the studio line. That is 704-951-5030. I'm going to take another station identification break, play some message music, and when I come back, we'll hit these last two stories about the fake war on cops being exposed by the real data, and the FBI's propensity to trick mentally deficient people into participating in plots that the FBI informants actually are the masterminds of. But of course, they got to justify all that tax money that they spending. They got to scare you into thinking that they, you need them to protect you and all this and that. And so, of course, these plots are going to be exposed in the media and they're going to make these big announcements. But what's really going on is they're the ones that's behind it. It's called the Hegelian dialectic. Create the problem, then act like you got the answer and the solution to the problem that you created in the freaking first place. You know, that's the Hegelian dialectic. Look that up. All right. Listening to Black Talk Radio News, my name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
This is Ron Hayes with Hood News, and you're listening to the Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned.
American Negro collectively is richer than most nations of the world. We have an annual income of more than $30 billion a year, which is more than all of the exports of the United States and more than the national budget of Canada. Did you know that? That's power right there if we know how to prove.
We should own and operate and control the economy of our community. We have to become involved in a program of re-education to educate our people into the importance of knowing that when you spend your dollar out of the community in which you live, the community in which you spend your money becomes richer and richer. The community out of which you take your money becomes poorer and poorer. And because these Negroes who have been misled, misguided, are breaking their necks to take their money and spend it with the man is becoming richer and richer, and you're becoming poorer and poorer. And then what happens? The community in which you live becomes a slum. It becomes a ghetto. The conditions become run down. And then you have the audacity to complain about poor housing in a run-down community. Why, you run it down yourself when you take your dollar.
We've got to strengthen black institutions. I call upon you to take your money out of the banks downtown and deposit your money in Tri-State Bank. We are telling you to follow what we are doing. Put your money there. You have six or seven black insurance companies here. Take out your insurance there. Now, these are some practical things that we can do. We begin the process of building a greater economic base. We've got to give ourselves to this struggle until the end. We've got to see it through.
So our people not only have to be re-educated to the importance of supporting black business, but the black man himself has to be made aware of the importance of going into business. And once you and I go into business, we own and operate at least the businesses in our community, what we will be doing is developing a situation wherein we will actually be able to create employment for the people in the community.
The black man must unite in one grand racial hierarchy, making a racial empire upon which the sun shall never set. Be black, buy black, be black, and all of them together with them.
American Negro collectively is richer than most nations of the world. We have an annual income of more than $30 billion a year, which is more.
Do you think that the white right wing is using the black militants to scale war against black people in America?
Well, as I see it, the full-scale war against us has been going on for some 400 years.
I mean, completely, but, white us out, the black people out, I mean, that they can open the concentration camps, they can have justification of this backing off the black ghetto, wiring it off, put troops around it. You think the right wing agitating the black Pennsylvania, the black militant group in that direction?
I don't really think that whether they're agitating or not, I won't say that they're not. But what they're putting themselves in for is quite a different thing. You see, In other words, as far as black people being slaughtered, we're slaughtered every day. And historically, 50 million black people were killed on the Middle Passage alone, according to Melvin J. Hershkovich. And this was an act of genocide, which is not talked about. And that the only thing people talk about is the plight of the Jews, where 6 million were killed. And when I state that 50 million black people were killed, just bring them to this country, no one understands this. But what I'm saying is that our real danger is not the Burchites or the Minutemen or some other fanatics. That our danger is really the people who wear the uniform of the establishment, dressed in the clothes of the military or the police department. They're strong enough to wipe us out, not wipe us out. They're strong enough to inflict great harm upon the community. And this thing about the fanatics going around agitating, I don't think it will have a great consequence to the black community. The killing of little Bobby Hutton, a treasure, was a matter of attempting to wipe out the leadership of the Panther, along with getting rid of Eldridge Cleaver, because of his book Soul on Ice, that reveals many things about the corruption of the clean penal system. Not only the Black Panther Party, black people in general are in danger. As you would note, that in the community where the police ambushed the Panthers, that the police fired upon the community in general. They fired in people's homes where there might have been women and children. Matter of fact, I understand that a child was almost killed. And that it was a continuation of the traditional tactics, not only of the Oakland Police Department, but the police throughout the country. And an immediate end will have to be put to this. And I think that what's happening now is that the Black Panther Party is merely speeding up time. As we know that whenever a man becomes frantic and strikes wildly, that he's becoming very weak. He's striking now everyone in the world, and we know that he won't be able to engage the whole colored world into a war, and also fight a civil war here with the revolutionary people of America.
Black Talk Radio News, Scotty Reed in for this broadcast. That was Huey Newton, one of the founders of the Black Party. Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, which later became known as only the Black Panther Party. It was a political party. It was also a social political organization. And but he is right. He's right that our number one enemy, all right, on the front lines, and I'm just talking about the front lines, is the people wearing the uniform. Now, I am not talking about them as individuals and whatnot. There have been some individual police officers and people who work in law enforcement who have tried to expose the corruption within the law enforcement. And some of them been killed for doing so or run off and run out of the profession. So I ain't talking about individual people, but I'm talking about as an institution. The people that wear the uniform are the number one enemy of the people, of the masses, and primarily of black people. This stuff that we seeing in the news and all of that about police violence and brutality has been going on for hundreds of years. And then talking about, let's use correct language, like Brother Yohanan Eliyahu, the co-producer, co-host of New Abolitionist Radio, a new abolitionist, because we need to abolish slavery, so we got to have new abolitionists. But he said, he shared a quote on Facebook where this person, this professor at Princeton, has said, this isn't really racial profiling. This is just regular old policing. They've been doing this since they started in the 1600s. And how many times have I said that? You got police departments older than the U.S. government itself. Because the U.S., the American Revolution wasn't until 1775. First police department was created in the 1600s to do what? To police black people, to keep enslaved Africans on the plantation and whatnot. And their job, their mission remains the same today. Now, do they kill other non-black people, most certainly they do. But, you know, those people need to wake up and they need to start their own movements because they being targeted today, too. So that, you know, that's what Neely Fuller calls white sacrifice, you know, to give the appearance that it isn't racism and whatnot. But when really it is. Now, one of the tricks that they did back then was that, guess what? During the 60s is when they start hiring who? Black cops. Now, today, we got black police chiefs and what. All of that was to do was to confuse everyone to think that racism has been abolished in this country, that they ain't practicing racism no more. No, what they did was start using proxy races. But actually, I think it was Max who identified one of the first proxy races going all the way back, I think either to the 1700s or the 1800s. A proxy racist is a black person or a non-white person who aids the system of racism and white supremacy in exchange for benefits and whatnot. And so, you know, they were striking out wildly during that time because of the activities, the revolutionary activities of the Black Panther Party. And them having the ability to establish, you know, connections and coalitions with people all over the world, regardless of their quote unquote racial classification. They were radicalizing the youth. And I don't mean to use the term radicalization in the way that terrorists use it. I mean it in a good way. I mean it in waking people up to what they're facing and what where we're headed and whatnot. So all of that, and another thing, this is kind of off topic, but, you know, I'll express some frustration last night because I'm a human being. I get frustrated, but I wasn't speaking out of emotion. But you know what really bugs me is that you got black members of the Black Panther Party and other revolutionary organizations that was fighting against racism and white supremacy that are in prison to this day, that have been locked up for 40, going on 50 years, many of them being tortured in solitary confinement, suffering all kind of abuse and brutality on the prison plantation. And what really irks me is that you'll have one of these celebrities, one of these black celebrities, who will get into some trouble, okay, get into some trouble, and you will have millions of black people running to their aid, running to their defense, and telling people this and telling people that and you know, want to protect them. But then, from what I see, I'm connected to a very small circle on Facebook that even talk about our political prisoners and freedom fighters who are in prison because they were trying to end the system of racism and white supremacy. Not because they allegedly was trying to buy NBC Universal or some corporation and whatnot so that they can put more entertainment on television. And no, these people were creating survival programs. They wasn't out there talking garbage about poor black people. They were out there trying to help poor black people, trying to protect them from the police, feeding them, clothing them, educating them, building coalitions, political coalitions and whatnot. And they had to be destroyed. They had to be destroyed because they were on the right track. They were on the right track to dismantling this system. And a message had to be sent to the rest of us that if you're going to engage in this sort of revolutionary activity, we'll kill you too. We'll assassinate you. We'll frame you for a crime and we'll put you in prison and we'll never let you out. And it just pains me to no end that we don't have mass support like we have for these celebrities when they get in trouble, that, you know, we don't have that kind of support. No, we're not even a fraction of the support for our political prisoners. How many times have you seen the very important court case involving Mumia Abu-Jamal which could have widespread implications in giving our people on the prison plantations access to health care, to real health care. Man, you better believe those articles ain't going viral. Those posts on social media ain't going viral. Mamia Abdul-Jamal became a revolutionary as a teenager. And working in media, a very important aspect of the Black Panther Party's operations. And, you know, we got more people concerned about celebrities than we got concerned about our freedom fighters who they killing on these prison plantations. So, I ain't mean to go off on that tangent, but I just had to say that. Because it's the truth. If you disagree, that's fine. Show me the error in my thinking. But anyway, I talked about the cops, this fake war on cops and whatnot. But just to give you an example of what you may have missed, maybe not, in 2015. But here is the proxy racist tool, Sheriff David Clark, in the most racist county in terms of 21st century slavery and human trafficking, rounding up mostly black males, but going after black women and children as well. Sheriff David Clark talking about a so-called war on police. Of course, he was on Fox News' racist platform.
And with me now, Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. Sheriff Clark, what do you say? I mean, what's your reaction to this? Is it open season on law enforcement in this country?
Judge, I am too pissed off tonight to be diplomatic about what's going on, and I'm not going to stick my head in the sand about it. I said last December that war had been declared on the American police officer led by some high-profile people, one of them coming out of the White House, one coming out of the United States Department of Justice. And it's open season right now. There's no doubt about it. Look, anytime a law enforcement officer is killed, a little of every police officer in America dies along with them.
And finally, Sheriff, the national rhetoric that's going on, you say that people need to push back and we need to see things when we see things on Facebook or on social media. You know, the truth is that people can say and do whatever they want. This is America. But without leadership, you know, there isn't going to be any different, you know, reaction. More people seem to be emboldened by this kind of thing.
Right. And that's why I said that the president of the United States started this war on police. Look, and I know what you mean, Judge, by that, but it's not absolute. You can't say anything you want in the United States of America. You cannot threaten people's lives. You can't call for the killing of people like we're seeing from some of these things. That is not First Amendment protection. That is protected. That is filth. That is slime. And, you know, there are some law enforcement implications that can be done with the Department of Justice and with state's attorney's offices across the United States. I love the First Amendment. I love freedom of speech. You are not free to threaten my life or anybody else.
Now, I want to pull up something else there. But listen, before I do, because, you know, this man is a hypocrite. This man is a proxy racist. He is a piece of scum. All right. And I don't feel no kind of kinship. I don't feel any kind of whatever connection to this person just cause his skin color is about the same color as mine. This man is an enemy of black people. All right. Y'all need to study warfare. Okay. Ain't no picking sides, but based on color. All right. You pick sides based on who trying to kill you, who trying to enslave you. You know, the enemy, what uniform is he wearing? Who is he out there fighting for? All right. If I'm on a battlefield, if I had been a combat soldier, if I had been I forget the designation, 11 Bravo, if I had been 11 Bravo, you think that I'm not going to shoot at somebody that's shooting at me because they got the same skin tone as me? On what battlefield does that make sense? I'm supposed to not shoot this person that's trying to kill me, you know? So anyway, this man is an enemy. But anyway, you know, President Obama ain't declared no war on cops.
He's actually been providing political cover for them. He's actually been trying to pacify people with, for example, his commission on 21st century policing, where he appointed as the chair of that commission another proxy racist who has been involved in 21st century slave catching and targeting people on the streets, especially in cities. And I'm talking about the current Philadelphia Police Commissioner. I forget his name, but he's a black man, and the people in Philadelphia can tell you what he's about. He ain't about nothing. He's about the system of racism and white supremacy and his role in it to oppress other people. All right. So President Obama ain't declared no freaking war on cops. Now, he does have to respond to mass demonstrations and whatnot. He has to try to, you know, simmer things down. That's his job as CEO of USA Inc. But this bombastic partisan attack on President Obama, like he's declared a war on cops, that's just nonsense. This is just nonsense. All right. And he knows it. David Clark knows that's nonsense. But again, what he is doing is just trying to get all of these unconscious masses in America to attack black people or anybody else that will stand up against the police state. Did some cops get killed allegedly? Yeah, allegedly some of them got killed, got targeted and whatnot. But hell, you have casualties on the battlefield. I chalk it up. Hell, I look at this as a war. It is a war. It's not that I'm looking at it as a war. It's been a 400-year war against people since the police department was first created. We wouldn't have the prison slave labor force, the largest in the world, without these cops. All right, waging war on the people and stealing their freedom and liberty over made-up crimes by politicians who are in the pockets of private prison enslavers and whatnot. And some of them just hate black people, that's all. And this man talks like he hates black people. But there's been no war on cops. Now, let me play this other one, where this man called for people to attack Black Lives Matter people. And he talking about, you don't get to say anything you want. Well, I ain't seen him be arrested for him calling for the attacks on Black Lives Matter. Calling them garbage, calling them subhuman, all the language that we saw throughout hundreds of years since the construction of white supremacy, using that language to dehumanize black people. This is him. Let's listen.
Should be held responsible because the police officers, the good ones, as they say, they don't testify against them. So they're all bad. If you're a part of that gang, you need to quit your job.
Wow, a slap in the face to law enforcement just days after an NYPD cop was killed in cold blood, who, by the way, was African-American. Hundreds descending upon the streets of Midtown Manhattan to march against cops and even chant expletives for those who protect and serve and were protecting them on that day, too. Here now to discuss where we go from here, Fox News contributor and former homicide detective Rod Wheeler, who was out and got those sound bites for us and did all those interviews, and Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. Since we spoke to you, Rod, earlier, let's get the sheriff to weigh in. Sheriff, your reaction to some of the sentiment you heard on the streets on Saturday?
Well, it's just crazy talk. That's ignorance in its purest form. You know, I think we need to rethink the strategy. I don't know why the police even bother policing those demonstrations. They're not protests. Those people advocate for the overthrow of our legally constituted government.
What the president would do says they have a point,
let them
Sheriff.
Fend for them. Let them fend for themselves. Let the good law-abiding people of New York clash with them for disrupting their lives, disrupting their businesses. Then the police can show up and arrest these subhuman creeps for creating a disturbance. That we can do.
Now, Rod, do you have a different sense? You're actually on the street talking to them. Number one, did the cops play an important role in keeping them safe? And you tell me about the sentiment you heard.
They did, Brian. I mean, the cops were out there. You know, I must say that the police were taking a lot of verbal abuse while they were out there, and it was really unfortunate. But I also must say that the police did not turn their backs on the citizens, and even the people that had the biggest mouths out there, the folks that I was talking to, if they were to call those police officers today, those same police officers would still be there to assist them. Look, Brian, it was just last week when a young New York police officer was gunned down in cold blood right here in this city where I'm at now. And you know what? This officer hasn't even been eulogized yet, and these people are out there talking about death to cops. So I think it's ridiculous, and I wish that the politicians would speak up a little bit more, because actually, you know what I think? I think a lot of these protesters get their energy from some of these liberal politicians. And that's just my opinion.
And Ron, Sheriff, I want to bring it to the president. I'll just paraphrase what he said. Essentially, he says these are people who are very angry, and they're standing up because this has been a wrong that has not been righted yet. Your reaction?
But you know what, though, Brian? A lot of the people I talked to, I'm sorry, Sheriff, a lot of the people that I talked to, they were saying that their frustration, believe it or not, is with the government. And they specifically said, Brian, President Obama.
Wow. Sheriff, go ahead.
Well, first of all, there is no police brutality in America. We ended that back in the 60s. So I don't know where they're coming from. You look at the data and the research, and there's a new Harvard study out that shows that there is no racism in the hearts of police officers. They go about their daily duty, if you will, to keep communities safe. The President of the United States knows better. He's playing the race game. He's playing race politics. Shame on him. He's been very divisive for this country. He has been a nightmare, and I cannot wait until January of 2017 so that America's nightmare can be over.
Black Lives Matter, does it play an important role? First, you, Sheriff?
No, it's garbage. It's a subversive movement. Like I said, they advocate the overthrow of our legally constituted government. Right. It is not a protest movement.
Rod?
I think, yes, it does matter. I think all lives matter, and I think what they're arguing about and protesting about is valid. It's just the way that they're going about doing it, I think, is totally misdirected. Right?
It isn't valid. Knock it off. You're contributing to the problem here. It is not valid. There is no research.
But some of those
show
people,
me the data.
Sheriff,
show
Sheriff,
me the research
respect,
that
Sheriff.
Demonstrates or supports that lie that,
sure.
that law enforcement officers use an inordinate amount of force against black people.
Yeah, but Sheriff,
black people use an inordinate amount of force against themselves and each other in the American ghetto. It is not true about the American police officer, and I'm not going to let anybody come on TV and advocate
that. You have to be fair, Sheriff, about all of this. Some of those people did have some valid arguments.
Fair.
And I'm not saying at all, and I would never suggest police officers are just go out and do things wrong to people, but there are some valid arguments that we both, on both
there
sides, need
no
to really
valid
take.
There are no arguments. There is no police brutality in the United States.
Sheriff Clark?
I'm going to leave it there. That's not the clip that I was looking for. The clip I was looking for, he was on CNN. That's Fox News, but he was on CNN's platform. And he called for people, when Black Lives Matter come to your town, push them out, do this, do that. It was basically a threat. You know, I can't recall his exact words, but they were a threat. And I played those on this program in the past. This was a threat. And then shortly after, maybe weeks, maybe a month later, that's when you had those five white males attack and shoot those Black Lives Matter protesters that were in, where was that? Not Milwaukee. That was Minneapolis at the 4th Precinct. And so he called for that. He called for that. But look, this is why, again, there's a lot of confusion that is being spread around these issues because they get these showcase black people who have sold their souls to the freaking devil who get on TV and tell white racists exactly what they want to hear. And come on now. How you going to sit up there and say there's no racism? Police brutality don't exist. We got rid of it in the 1960s. Man, this man, I tell you, let me just stay cool and not say what I really want to say on this air. But anyway, he talked about this war on cop. All right, the Washington Post published this article on December the 30th, 2 days before, you know, today, just 2 days ago. It says, this year will go down in the record books as one of the safest for police officers in recorded history. According to data released this week from the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund, there were 42 fatal shootings of police officers in 2015, down 14% from 2014, according to the organization. Overall, 124 officers were killed in the line of duty this year. More than one-third of those deaths were due to traffic accidents, which was the largest single cause of officer fatalities. 30 other officers died of a variety of other causes, including job-related illness. What kind of job-related illness? Are they talking about suicides or something? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they got poisoned by their spouse that they was beating the hell out of. Because, you know, officers do engage in violence at up to four times the rates of the American public. But I digress. Anyway, so there is no war on cops. There is no war on cops. And they have a graph showing police officer fatalities in the line of duty from 1960 to 2015, which includes shootings, traffic accidents, and all other causes. So again, they are dying more in car accidents, probably from drunk driving or speeding. And oh, speaking of that, you know, I shared this story concerning Sheriff David Clark, where one of his deputies was speeding at an airport, outside of an airport. It was all caught on video. He was speeding, ran a stop sign, crashed into this white woman's car, broke her freaking neck. She didn't die, but it broke her neck. And then they charged this woman. They filed false charges on this woman. David Clark and them had video the whole doggone time where this woman was being charged with these fake crimes. Blaming her for the accident. All right. Now, do you think that they arrested that deputy for what he did? Do you think they arrested any of these jokers for lying and participating in the cover-up? No, they did not. The woman had to take them to court and sue. And the video came out. Once the video came out, they sued him. This man got up there and lied for his deputies. They then almost killed a woman. So don't talk to me about thugs. Don't talk to me about criminals. Don't talk to me about subhuman scum. Because that piece of trash right there, man, I'm going to keep it cool and not say what I'm thinking. There is no war on cops. This whole notion, remember they were saying more cops is getting hurt because, you know, they're pulling back from their jobs because they're scared of being caught on video brutalizing somebody. You know what? If you don't brutalize nobody, you don't have to be afraid of getting caught on video. Do you? You don't. And all of that ain't nothing but propaganda. It ain't nothing but garbage. It's garbage. And then he won't talk about, you know, well, let's not police them. Well, damn, that's what some of the people out there is calling for. Some of the organizations and activists is community control of the police. Some of them want the police out of their community. And let's do self-policing. Look, I live in an area. Most of it is most of the black people here are my family members. Or related to me through marriage in this little small rural area that I live in. It's hundreds of us, but we're 90% of us are related, okay? And then we're surrounded by white people and whatnot. And it can go a month and we not see a police car, period. We don't see anything. So I'm like, we really don't need the police out here patrolling and policing the communities. We don't have them doing it here. The only time they come is when they respond to a call. They should be like firemen. Stay your ass in that fucking police station. Y'all excuse my language. Stay your behind in that police station until you called. Because you're not preventing any crime. If all these crime statistics are going up like he say, even though FBI statistics show that there's a decline in violent crime and whatnot, well, then if what you were saying was factual, then that just showed then you ain't doing nothing. What the hell do we need you for? You ain't stopping no crime because you're saying that, you know, these people, all this violent crime is going on and they killing each other and all this and that. Well, then what we need you for, because you ain't stopping a thing. Your sole existence is to generate revenue for these, for the state, for the cities, for the municipalities, for the counties, and to catch neo-slaves. They focus more on quote-unquote nonviolent drug crimes than they focus on catching rapists. They invest more money into trying to catch people with drugs on them than they invest in processing the rape kits that they got stacked up in a warehouse somewhere that they claim they ain't got the money to process these kits and identify these rapists that's out here. And again, I don't care what people think about me. I ain't looking for no corporate handouts. I ain't looking for no grants from the government. I ain't looking for no advertisers like that. You know, I hate the dang-gone police because they are evil entity. They are evil institution. And it ain't no white versus black thing because I just gave you just heard two showcase black people in law enforcement. And ain't none of them coming out like that woman said. Ain't no good cops. Because if it was good cops, where is the good cops at then that's arresting these criminals that they see? Right now, in the one of them Florida police departments is being investigated for laundering millions of dollars in drug money for the Mexican drug cartels. These people cause more problems than anything. We wouldn't have slavery without them out there enforcing the slave codes, the modern day slave codes. So I don't care what people think. I ain't gonna tone down my language. David Clark can kiss my ass. He's scum. They're scum. And yes, there are, again, as I stated before, a few individual good cops who have tried to expose this, but then they get turned on. You know, they call it the thin blue line, crossing the thin blue line. No, it's really no snitching. That's what it is. Use that gang language that y'all use on these people out here on the street. It's no snitching. And they turn on them, on those people who cross that quote unquote thin blue line. They turn on them and target them and try to get them killed for snitching on their criminality, on their organized criminal enterprises. So if my language offends you, good. I hate these people. I hate evil. They the guard dogs of the racist system, and they need to be put down. Ain't no good cops out there. You know, very few. Very few. Every once in a while you'll hear a story about a cop coming forth exposing racism and whatnot. But he doesn't get a whole, or she doesn't get a whole lot of attention. Because they want to keep the masses ignorant and keep feeding them this pro-cop propaganda. Now, I interview former cops and stuff, and I support the work of law enforcement against prohibition that wants to end the drug war and has identified it as slavery. I support their work, but police in general as an institution, I don't support them because they are evil. Next story I want to jump to before Tando, we make way for Tando Radio. Y'all may have heard this story about this alleged terrorist plot that was going to take place on New Year's Eve. This comes to you from news24.com. A New York man was charged with planning a New Year's Eve terror attack. Federal authorities said a New York man has been arrested on charges he was planning a New Year's Eve attack at a bar to prove to the Islamic State he was worthy to join it in Syria. Prosecutors announced on Thursday that 25-year-old Emmanuel Lutchman has been charged with attempting to provide material support to terrorists. They say he was snared in an FBI sting. A federal complaint says Lutchman is a self-professed convert to Islam who claim to receive direction from an overseas Islamic State member and plan to carry out an attack at a bar in Rochester area on Thursday. You're going to carry it out with a machete and some knives. This guy is mentally deficient. I wouldn't be surprised if he suffers from some kind of mental retardation and whatnot. And these are the people that they choose. These are the people that they choose to manipulate, to draw them into these plots. They search for them on the internet. They search for people who are expressing frustration with the system. And then, you know, they'll send one of their FBI agents and they'll be like, I represent so-and-so. And to prove your allegiance, we need you to do this and do that. And some of these people fall for it. They fall for it. Then the FBI come in. Oh, we disrupted this plot. No, you created the plot. You recruited the person. You recruited the would-be terrorist. And there's a long history of this. And I linked to the article from Information Clearinghouse. It's an old article, but the information is relevant because the practice, this is part of their patterns and practices. This is from 2011. The Federal Bureau of Investigation employs upwards of 15,000 undercover agents today. 10 times, again, this is 2011. They probably got 100 times that. Now, but they said this is 10 times what they had on the roster back in 1975 when they was out there setting up other people during that Black Power movement. I think the Black Liberation Movement had been destroyed by 1975. I could be wrong. If you think that's a few spies too many, spies earning as much as $100,000 per assignment. Let me repeat that. Not $100,000 a year, $100,000 per assignment. One doesn't have to go too deep into their track record to see their accomplishments. Those agents are responsible for an overwhelming amount of terrorist stings that have stopped major domestic catastrophes in the vein of 9/11 from happening on American soil. Another thing those agents are responsible for, however, is plotting those very schemes. The FBI has in recent years used trained informants not just to snitch on suspected terrorists, but to set them up from the get-go. A recent report put together by Mother Jones and the Investigative Reporting Program at the University of California, Berkeley analysis shows some striking statistics about the role of FBI informants in terrorism cases that the Bureau has targeted in the decades since the September 11th attacks. The report reveals that the FBI regularly infiltrates communities where they suspect terrorist-minded individuals to be engaging with others. Regardless of their intentions, agents are sent in to converse within the community, find suspects that they could potentially carry out lone wolf attacks, and then more or less encourage them to do so. By providing weaponry, funds, and a plan, FBI-directed agents will encourage otherwise unwilling participants to plot out terrorist attacks, only to bust them before any events fully materialize. This is very, you can read the rest of this article, but this is standard practices and procedures, people. All of this is just to scare you into giving up more of your freedom and liberty. So the very terrorists that are terrorizing you, that are enslaving you, that are covering up the crimes of those within their ranks so that you will call for them to protect you when they ain't protecting you, man. They behind the plots. Are there some people out there? I'm sure there are. I'm not an idiot. I'm sure that there are some real lone wolf types out there that get pissed off at whatever it is they're pissed off, and it's not like they don't have a lot to be pissed off about, all right? And then they may go out there and they might kill somebody, kill a couple of people, kill 10, 20 people and whatnot. You know, they might take over a abortion clinic or a women's health care clinic, because I don't know if they was providing abortions at that clinic, but And then he'll shoot it up and hold people hostage and all of that, you know. So, yeah, those type of people do exist. They do exist. But the vast majority of these so-called terrorism plots that are always connected to Islam, I would say 90-95% of them, FBI informants are behind them. They the masterminds of these plots. And they, again, identify individuals who may not be as mentally, you know, strong as others, and they manipulate them into agreeing to commit these attacks. And then they come in and swoop in and, hey, look at us, we're doing such a great job protecting America from all this terrorism. Yeah, right. Wake up, people. Wake up. Information is out there. Take advantage of the information highway while before they throw roadblocks up, and then you won't have this access to the information. Everything ain't what it seems. If the state media is telling you something, it's probably the exact opposite is true. You've been listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I've been broadcasting today from behind these enemy lines. I will be back on air Sunday night with another episode of Political Prisoner Radio. I hope millions of you will tune in so that you can come to the aid of our freedom fighters who have been unjustly prosecuted, set up, criminalized, and put on a prison plantation where they're being tortured and put through all manner of hell. Show them that support that you show these black celebrities when they get in trouble. I hope that all of you listening now will tune in Sunday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. But also, Sunday is when we're also supposed to launch new programming starting at 11 a.m. Eastern time. So Sunday will be one of our busier days, like Wednesdays, on the network. And we hope in 2016 to expand the programming. Recognize the fact that you live behind enemy lines, that these evil bastards are still practicing slavery. They're killing people out there in the streets unjustly. It's not right. And somebody's got to put a stop to it. If not you, then who? Develop that battlefield skill, that battlefield awareness, and hopefully you can decrease the likelihood that you will become a victim of this evil system that is causing so much pain and suffering throughout this world. It's not going to end itself. It's going to take you. It's going to take me. Hell, we might be fighting this till I'm in my 80s, if I'm blessed to live that long, you know. But we got to be training up the next generation. And to be honest with you, I'm glad to see them young people out there in them streets and identifying the problem. Even though they may not know everything, they know something, and that something is something ain't right. This is an unjust system, that we live under, that is not practicing justice, and they want to implement a system based on justice. As Neely Fuller says, where everybody who needs the most help gets that help. Peace and blessings to all.
How do you describe desperation to someone who is not desperate? And he had a letter to me from U.S. political prisoner Ojo Mutulo, who went on to depict everyone in the management control unit at Trenton State being woken up at 1 o'clock in the morning by guards dressed in riot gear, holding dogs. This country was born out of genocide. Mm-hmm. That's the political genesis of the slavery system, the political genesis of the prison system. This country was born out of genocide. That's the political genesis of the slavery system, the prison system. Slavery system is 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 the prison system. And this country was born out of genocide, 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 genocide.